Thank you, ma'am. That's good. You remember just a few weeks ago she had a bout with gallbladder stones. And that's no fun. A lot of pain involved with it. All right, turn the Bible to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 44 with me tonight, please. Verse number 15. Jeremiah, chapter number 44, and verse number 15. Jeremiah 44:15. The divine text says, "Then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense to other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt, in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, As for the word that thou hast spoken to us in the name of Jehovah, the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings to her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings, princes, and the cities of Judah, the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of victuals, and were well, and saw no evil. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things, and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. And when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings to her, did we make her cakes to worship her and pour out drink offerings to her without our men?" Now go down to verse number 24. "Moreover, Jeremiah said unto all the people, to all the women, Hear the word of the Lord, all Judah that are in the land of Egypt." Now look at the import of this. "All Judah that is in the land of Egypt, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, set in contradistinction to the pagan gods of North Africa. Ye and your wives have both spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hands, saying, We will surely perform our vows that we have vowed to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her. Ye will surely accomplish your vows, and surely perform your vows. Therefore hear ye the word of the Lord, all Judah that dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, saith the Lord, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, The Lord God liveth." Father, I pray that you bless your holy word tonight and give me the wisdom I need now to preach it. Give me unction, Heavenly Father. Open the hearts of the people to receive your word. In thy name we pray. Amen. Now, the Queen of Heaven is a term used for a lot of different women down through the ages. More than likely, in the book of Jeremiah, when they're talking about the Queen of Heaven, they're talking about Ishtar, the Babylonian Queen of Heaven, the Mother Goddess, the Mother of God. She bears that name, or that title, Mother of God and Queen of Heaven, throughout all kinds of cultures. They all accommodate her to the particular culture. It is an abominable thing in the sight of God. It's an abominable thing in the sight of God for any pagan gods to be elevated above the Jehovah, above the Lord God Himself. It's an abomination to God. North Africa is the seat and heart and heart, the seat and heart and soul of Gnosticism and of the occult worship of the Queen of Heaven. It's the hotbed for it. It's the seat of it. And so Israel went down to North Africa, and there in North Africa they embraced the Queen of Heaven. You may not know this right now, but 70,000 people are in the desert in Nevada, and they've gone to a thing that's called the Burning Man. 70,000 people every year, figure varies, I suppose, but these people have met out there in this place for one purpose, and that is to satisfy the lust of their flesh in any way possible from all over the world. All over the world, once a year they meet there. The Burning Man takes us back to the Celtic religion in the British Isles. Caesar, through his historian, wrote about them and said that they would put a huge basket, wicker basket, and fill it with men. And supposedly, most of the men were criminals and worthy of death. But sometimes, if they didn't have enough criminals, they'd find whatever they could and put in there, including innocent men. Then they'd burn them alive in that wicker basket. And Caesar observed that. He had no use for the Celts. He had no use for the Druids. He had no use for the Celtic religion. That's the religion of the British Isles. They say that witchcraft was born there in the British Isles. And it was, of course, exported over here into the United States. Now, whether witchcraft in itself was born there or not, I'm sure their brand was. But the Old Testament talks about a witch, goes back into ancient Hebrew history, and talks about these people who are literally worshipers of the earth and of the earth spirit. It's paganism, but it's pantheism. If you listen to me tonight, I'll lay the groundwork for you to understand what's happening in your culture to your people that you live with. Since this is 2016, it's my responsibility as a pastor to minister to you, this generation. This generation. Not 1950, not 1850, but 2016. This generation. It's very important for you to understand why you see all this stuff happening out here and you can't make sense of it. You wonder why the homosexual movement is moving apace, why it is gaining momentum, why it is gaining strength, why it's everywhere. Why is that? You wonder why that transgenderism is everywhere now. Like Bruce Jenner, for example, he's a prime example. He is now Caitlyn, the she. Transgenderism. But if you'll notice, it all has to do with the feminine gender. In other words, there is a movement away from masculine toward feminine. In other words, there is a movement away from masculine toward the Queen of Heaven. If you go to northern France, go to the cathedrals of northern France, go down beneath them, you'll find a virgin down there that gives birth. This virgin in the pagan world is not like a virgin that we understand in the Scripture. In the Bible, a virgin is a woman who has never had any kind of relationship with a man. But in the pagan world, a virgin represents one who brings forth life from herself. Now let that settle in for a moment. With no need for a man, with no need for any intervention, she brings forth life from herself. Therefore, the term Mother of God means that she brought forth God from herself. And remember that the Queen of Heaven, Sophia, if you called in some cultures, is an emanation from what Plato talked about back there thousands of years ago. It can get into a very complicated this, that, and this, that, and this, that. But the reason that I'm bringing this stuff out is because I'm going to show you in concrete terms how this stuff is already in the churches. It's already in the churches. And you're going to have to deal with it because it is in your family. Some of your family members go to churches that have thrown the Bible out the back door and now they worship the Queen of Heaven. The Mary of the Roman Catholic Church, for certain in the higher echelons, is Semiramis, Ishtar, the Babylonian goddess, the Mother of God. To say that the Mother of God literally means that she predates God. The word is Theotokos. Nestorius refused that doctrine in the first century, and he was called a heretic and excommunicated. Therefore, the Nestorians were the ones who refused the term Mother of God. Mary of the Bible has nothing to do with the Mary of the goddess worship She has nothing to do with any of this stuff. The Mary of the Bible is never called the Mother of God.
Amen.
The Mary of the Bible is the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
She's the mother of the God-man.
Yes, sir.
God was not born 2,000 years ago.
Amen,
God has never been born. God has never come into existence. God is from everlasting to everlasting. They can't get that. I am the Lord. Beside me there is none other, he said. The Lord Jesus says in the book of Revelation, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. The Bible said all things were made by Him and for Him, without anything, but without Him was not anything made. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Did not say God was born of a woman. No apostle anywhere in that New Testament uses that kind of terminology. And he knew what he was saying when he said it. He said, God was manifest in the flesh. Didn't say he was born of a woman. The God-man was. You say, well, that preacher, you know, this is not important. Yes, it's very important. Because it will determine whether you go up or down. What you believe about the Lord Jesus Christ is all important. It is the most important doctrine in the Bible. You can be wrong on millennium. You can be wrong on eschatology. You can be wrong on soteriology, on pneumatology. You can be wrong on church polity. You can be wrong on baptism. You can be wrong on tithing. You can be wrong on all of these things. But if you're wrong on Christ, it'll cost you your soul. Because that is absolutely the most important doctrine in the Bible. Because who Christ is relates to man, and Christ is your Savior, and without Him there is no Savior. To know Him as your Savior, though you must know Him right as your Savior, the Lord Jesus is the only Savior of man who went to the cross and died so that you could be born again. He gave Himself for us. So the Queen of Heaven is not an ancient doctrine. The Queen of Heaven is with us right now. You see, my dear friend, the Druids and all the religion of the Celts and all the religion of the British Isles and all the religion of paganism, all the religion of the Babylonians, all the religion of the Egyptians, all the religions of all of the cultures, of all of them, they're all connected. Every last one of them, they're connected. And they're all pantheistic in the sense that God is in everything. God is both male and female. You folks in Sunday school remember me teaching this. By the way, I want to tell you something tonight. Now, I appreciate Brother Valance standing in for me this morning, because I had to go back there and take care of some technical problems of our streaming video and get all that squared away. And so I appreciate him filling in for me this morning. Next Sunday morning, I'm going to tell you why men love good and they love evil. And I'm going to tell you how that applies right now to the new world order and to the elite who are ruling this world and bringing about this golden age that they're looking forward to. I'm going to talk about that next Sunday morning. So I'd like to invite you to come as we open up the Bible. No one message. I can't get up here with one message and cover. I'll be here all night. Some of you say, it's all right. Well, okay. But I'm going to try to get through as much as I can tonight. Now, I want you to listen to a statement by Kenneth Copeland. Remember what Albert Pike said? Albert Pike said, Lucifer is God. Remember that? But he also said, but Adonai is also God. In other words, Lucifer's the good God, Adonai's the bad God, but we've got to have both of them. Why? You've got to have a yin-yang. Pantheism accepts the good, and pantheism accepts the bad, because that's the completeness. And they must be complete. As above, so below. The Ouroboros that circles itself. The snake goes down, then it comes back up again. That's what's going on right now, folks. 70,000 people are out there, and they are worshiping their flesh. And if it feels good, they're doing it. And make no mistake about it, it won't be long before what they're doing out there in the Nevada desert, they'll be doing it in the church house. Because paganism knows no end, and it's headed in that direction. Now, here's what Kenneth Copeland said. Copeland, he said, you're naming names, I have to. Because when I teach what I'm teaching tonight, then I don't want to misrepresent anybody. But I want you to understand that it's very important when you hear this to hear what these people have to say, because I want you to know their own words from their own mouth. Surely I haven't lost it. Can't keep up with anything. Let's see here. I know I've got it. Kenneth Copeland. Here it is. It's behind this. Here it is. All right. Listen to this. Kenneth Copeland. Adam was made in the image of God. He was as much female as he was male. Now, you know, that I know it's laughable, but the truth is, where do you think he got that? Do you think he thinks that he's original with that? Well, that's nothing. I mean, it's blasphemy. But if he thinks he's going to strut his stuff like he's saying something, that's nothing. Because all in the world he's doing is saying exactly what every occultist in the world says. Adam was both male and female. See what I mean? Both male and female. Now listen to this great exegesis. He was as much female as he was male. He was exactly like God. Also. Now let's get a hold of that for a moment. You know what he just said? What did he just say? God's male and female. He says he's exactly like him. If Adam is male and female, then God is male and female. Now, I don't know what God he's talking about, not my God. But in any event, listen to this. Then God separated him to remove the female part. Woman means man with the womb. Even had as much authority as Adam. Eve had as much authority as Adam. Did as long as they stayed together. Now, here he goes on to say this. He said, you're all God. You don't have a God living in you. You are one. When I read in the Bible where God tells me, Moses, I am, I say, yay, I am too. Now, he has no problem of egotism. But the problem is, if it's just egotism, that means nothing. The problem is that this man gets up in front of people day in and day out and comes across as a teacher of the Word of God. He's part of the problem. He's part of the corruption. There are people listening to this man who believe that he believes he's teaching them the Bible. Now, this emerging church is no longer to be identified as the emerging church. That was a few years ago. Why not, preacher? Because it's not emerging anymore. You don't emerge so long. Then you're here. It's here. It's everywhere. It's all over the place. These, as I said to you just a few days ago, I was talking about the so-called Christian music scene. They are embracing homosexuality now. I told you in the message this morning, I was preaching, I said, prominently displayed in a Christian bookstore is a book entitled The Gay Christian. The Gay Christian. Can you be a Christian and be gay? Once God saves you, He's going to change you. Now, it's not that often that I appeal to PhDs, but I'm going to appeal to a couple of PhDs right here in just a moment and read for you what they just said in a lengthy study that they gave out. But now, here's what Tony Campolo says. The overwhelming population of the gay community that love Jesus, that go to church, that are deeply committed to spiritual things, try to change and can't change. Then he says, I learn about Jesus from other religions. They speak to me about Christ as well. I'm not convinced that Jesus only lives in Christians. And I would say to this man, if I ever met him face on, I'd say, sir, somebody messed you up big time. You've never met the Jesus I know. You don't know him. No. You got a bunch of knowledge about right here, but you don't know him. You've never met him. Because once you meet him, he separates you. He takes you out from the rest. Now, one of the worst is Brian McLaren. Brian McLaren is one of their gurus. Here's what he says. I don't believe making disciples must equal making adherence to the Christian religion. It may be advisable in many, not all, circumstances to help people become followers of Jesus, see the terminology, followers of Jesus, and remain within their Buddhist, Hindu, or Jewish context. Did you see the missionary here the other night, Brother Urlagata, and the videos he showed you of India? And there are millions of gods in India? So you can worship these millions of gods and still be a follower of Jesus? You see, the problem is that they no longer preach a clear-cut gospel of the grace of God and salvation by grace. Now they're preaching, follow Jesus. What do you mean, follow Him? Well, he taught this, he taught that. You know, try to be good and follow what He taught about this and about that and so forth. And you'll be a good little Christian by doing that. Is that really what the Christian faith is about, folks? Jim Wallace, quote, Christianity will be impotent to lead a conversation on sexuality and gender if we do not bodily integrate our current understandings of humanity with our theology. This will require us, now listen carefully, words have meaning. This will require us to not only draw new conclusions about sexuality, but will force us to consider new ways of being sexual. Now, this is supposed to be a Christian talking. Now, you know, probably by the time you're in the sixth grade, you could understand the implications of everything he said. That's a strong statement. In plain words, he said, whatever the culture, the pop culture, happens to be in sexuality, the church must learn to conform to it. That's what he's talking about. That's the new attitude. And so he goes. Rob Bell. What if tomorrow someone digs up definitive proof that Jesus had a real, earthly, biological father named Larry? An archaeologist finds Larry's tomb and do DNA samples and prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that the virgin birth was just a bit of mythologizing the gospel writers threw into appeal to the followers of the Mithraean, Dionysian religious cults that were hugely popular at the time of Jesus, whose gods had virgin births. Could you still be a Christian? Is the way of Jesus still the best possible way to live? Rob Bell. Can you imagine your pastor saying that to you? The mythological idea that Jesus had an earthly father. The virgin birth's out the window with this guy. Now, Matthew believed in the virgin birth. So did Isaiah. Because Matthew quoted Isaiah. Here's another one, Tony Jones. In any case, I now believe that the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, queer can live lives in accord with biblical Christianity, at least as much as any of us can, and that their monogamy can and should be sanctioned and blessed by church and state. And on it goes. And here is apostate Jay Baker, and he is a pro-homosexual pastor. And here's what he says about the atonement of our Lord Jesus Christ. The atonement, the heart and soul of everything that we are. He says, Mr. Baker says, yes, quote, I am definitely questioning the atonement and trying to discover how we can see it in a different way. We've got this image of God who needs some sort of flesh, some sort of blood, that needs some sort of vengeance to pay for sin. My experience of a loving God who's asked me to love my enemies, this isn't a God that demands something before you're accepted. I think Jesus died because Jesus was inclusive. That's one of their favorite words. God is inclusive. I think the idea of God somehow being separated from us was more man's idea. Now, let me explain what they mean when they say inclusive. They mean that anything and everything goes and you're part of the scene. Unless you're a fundamental Baptist preacher. And you're not part of the scene. So it goes. So these men have made their position very clear. They're not my brothers. Not a one of them. Because they've all denied the Son. They've denied the Lord Jesus Christ. They've denied the Savior of mankind. The Christ that they believe in is a emanation from the monad. That's their Christ. Not the flesh, blood and bone, Son of God, who lived 2,000 years ago that went to a cross and died for us. They have no relationship with Him whatsoever. None. Now, Brian McLaren said this. He changed his views on homosexuality. He said, I was a good kid. I believed what I'd been told. As a pastor, I started having gay people come out to me, and what became clear and clear to me is that their experience was not explained by the theology I inherited. and that it would be unjust to continue to uphold what I'd been taught. Maybe I could say it like this. My call to love God and love my neighbor was in conflict with what I'd been taught in the Bible, required me to say and do. So his feelings dictated his theology. And out the window with the Bible. Now let's listen to a couple of PhDs. Would you like to hear what they've got to say? I wonder if you know that this even exists. How many of you know the New Atlantis, the Journal of Technology and Society, has just published a paper? Have you heard about that? The New Atlantis. This is two doctors of philosophy, PhDs. This is what they say. The New Atlantis, the Journal of Technology and Society, has produced a remarkable, far-reaching, landmark study which offers a summary and an up-to-date explanation of research on sexual orientation and gender identity from the biological, psychological, and social sciences, covering nearly 200 peer-reviewed studies. In a nutshell, here is what science and medicine, not popular culture, media, and politics elite, political elites, tell us. Number one, the belief that sexual orientation is an innate, biologically fixed human property, that people are born that way, is not supported by scientific evidence. This is not coming from a church. This is coming from scientists. Number two, likewise, the belief that gender identity is an innate, fixed human property independent of biological sex, so that a person might be a man trapped in a woman's body or a woman trapped in a man's body, is not supported by scientific evidence. Number three, only a minority of children who express gender atypical thoughts. And let me explain that. I'm sure you know what that means, but maybe some of you don't get this. Sometimes a child, a young child, very young child, may say, I think I'm a girl, or I think like a girl, or something of that nature. That's what that means. Now listen carefully to this. Listen to this. Only a minority of children who express gender atypical thoughts or behavior will continue to do so into adolescence or adulthood. There is no evidence that all such children should be encouraged to become transgender, much less subjected to hormone treatments or surgery. Amen. You talk about opening up a can of worms. Amen. You know what this means? You know what he's saying here? They're saying that if a child even talks like a boy, talks like he may be a girl, immediately they take them, Hillary's village, they take that child and they begin to pump hormones into it, female hormones. They begin to deal with that child psychologically, physically, in every way under the sun to make sure that that little boy does indeed become a girl. And that's what they're talking about here. Yes, ma'am. All right. Did you hear what she said? They're going to take a 4-year-old and subject it to a sex change at 4 years of age, 4 years old. That's insanity. Listen to this one, number four. Non-heterosexual and transgender people have higher rates of mental health problems, anxiety, depression, suicide, as well as behavioral and social problems, substance abuse, intimate partner violence, than the general population. Discrimination alone does not account for the entire disparity. Now, who did this subject? Who did this work? Now, listen carefully. The authors are Lawrence S. Mayer, MB, MS, PhD, scholar in residence in the Department of Psychiatry at Johns Hopkins University, and a professor of statistics and biostatistics at Arizona State University, and Paul R. McHugh, MD, professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, who for 25 years was the psychiatrist in chief at the Johns Hopkins Hospital. That's strong stuff. Did you hear about that on CBS? Didn't get it on ABC? CNN? Did you hear about it on Fox? You know why? They bury it. You know why? It does not fit the agenda. You can believe me, if these two men had come out in support what's the good term for the sodomite agenda? They'd had them on stage, they'd interviewed them, all their names have been plastered everywhere. Now look into this. I'll lay this down somewhere. You can copy it. You can have the. This is from the American Thinker, by the way, which is a good website. Not necessarily Christian, but it's not anti-Christian. It's one of these websites when you get onto it, and these guys, these women and men start writing, you got to start thinking. That's why they call it the American Thinker. And this is an outstanding article. To me, this is one of the most powerful things I've ever heard. Now, in the first place, the Bible says it's abomination, right? I don't need this to prove to me that it's wrong. No, I don't need it. In the first place, when you get saved, that's what you used to be. I don't need that to prove it to me. But there may be some folks out there, fence straddling, who need something like this. Exactly. And that's why I brought it out for you tonight. Somebody out there may need it. So I'll leave it up here, and you can get the website, American Thinker. It's about 3 or 4 days old, the article here. And by the way, they've reproduced this thing all over the Internet. All the Christian websites, I mean, they got a hold of this thing. It's everywhere. And you can understand why. It's all over the place. And so you can see tonight, can you see the agenda? Can you see how that they're buried? This is like the New York Times, all the news that is fit to print or whatever they say. You might find this on page 5,000 in a little corner down here in the bottom. If you find it at all, it's buried. They don't want you to know it. Now, Mary Magdalene and Venus perhaps point to Mary's true identity. In the south of France, where Mary Magdalene landed and established her ministry after the crucifixion, she was known as Mary Lucifera, or Mary the Lightbringer. Listen, Lucifer is now popularly associated with the devil, conflated with the figure of Satan. But to the ancient Romans, Lucifer, Latin for Lightbringer, referred to the morning star, also known as Venus. Picknett explains, this was a time-honored tradition. Pagan goddesses were known, for example, as Diana Lucifera, Diana of the Ephesians. You remember about her in the book of Acts? Isis Lucifer. To signify their power to illumine mind and soul, to open up both body and psyche to the holy light. If you'll get on the Internet and just look up Ishtar, just type Ishtar in, Ishtar, you'll pull up a female goddess, you'll pull up a goddess, and she's holding a torch in her hand. All right, here we've got a female holding a torch. Now, what's the torch? The torch is the light. See? Lucifer, she is the one who gives you Lucifer through the feminine. Through the homosexual, the feminine side of man. Okay? If you go to New York Harbor, Amen. There's also a female. And she's holding a torch. And it's the light. Isn't that strange? It almost makes you think that whoever founded this nation had an ulterior motive and an agenda. Right? And that's just a little bit. There's a whole lot more. There's a whole lot more. Do you understand tonight, folks? He said, I am the light of the world.
Yeah.
If you walk in this light, you'll never walk in darkness. If we have fellowship with the Father and with the Son, we walk in light. But if we don't have fellowship with the Father and the Son, John said, we walk in darkness. The true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world, the real light. In Him was life. The life was the light of men. The Lord Jesus Christ is the light. Not this. No, no, no. Not that one up there in New York Harbor. Not Ishtar. No, I don't need their illumination. I don't need their Gnostic illumination, their initiation, their higher orders. I don't need their goddess worship. I don't need their sex in church. Now listen to me. They're already playing her sex music. Have been for some time. The churches. You mean to tell me, preacher, that there's a difference in music? Oh, yes.
Yes, sir.
There is music that honors God and glorifies the Lord.
Amen.
And it may be in a culture and a language that you don't know a thing about, but when you hear it, you say, well, there's something good about that.
Yeah.
It's got the right ring to it. See? It glorifies God. But there's also music that glorifies Satan or Lucifer. And it does it through the flesh. So the churches have already incorporated sex music. The churches have already received that spirit. The only thing left for them now is to receive the man. Who's that? The Antichrist. And when they receive the man, they'll receive his name. I don't know his name. I know his mark. I know his number, not his mark. What's his number? See, I keep harping on this so that it'll get a hold of your heart. His number is what? Don't ever let anybody tell you they know his mark, because you don't know his mark till you know who he is. His mark. His mark. His name. And who is he, preacher? Well, if I knew that, I have no idea who he is. I know some good candidates. Fully qualified. But I'm still, don't jump the gun. Don't stick your neck out there. This fellow up there at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue may assimilate into obscurity and never hear and see of him anymore again. Just an occasional reference to him here and there. He wants to become president of the UN. Do you know what he's going to do in October, don't you? We're streaming live video right now. People are watching. They're watching us right now through live streaming video. Do you know why? It's because it was born in the United States of America. It's because right now this country governs and controls the Internet. But Obama, in October, is going to take the control of the Internet away from America and hand it to the UN. The UN rights of the child, the UN's religious religious agenda. I can't think of that organization in the UN tonight. I'm just talking off the top of my head. But it is a universal religion. In other words, if the UN gets control of the Internet, what kind of religion do you think they're going to allow to be preached across the Internet? If you are shut down to where you can no longer have your websites and you can no longer stream your preaching over the Internet, let me tell you who you can thank. His name is Barack Obama.
Amen.
I'm going to ask you a question. I'll come to a close. Did they bother to ask you, the American people, if you wanted to hand control of the Internet over to the United Nations? No, they didn't bother to ask you. Did they give it? Did they put it to a vote? Did they even have a debate over it?
No, sir.
No, no, no. He just simply, with a stroke of his pen, and he loves to do that, with a stroke of his pen, a fiat, an executive order, whatever it was, It becomes effective, I think, the 1st of October, somewhere in there. They hand the internet over to the UN. And I believe this tonight. I believe if he could, he, with a stroke of a pen, would have the United States over to the UN. I believe he would. I don't believe he loves this country. I don't believe he'd defend this nation. I don't believe he would. I don't believe it. I wouldn't trust him. I wouldn't trust him with the United States of America. The sooner he's gone, the better this country will be. It will be. Sooner he's gone, and the sooner another president is sworn in, and Lord help us, run for the hills if it's Hillary Clinton. We'll see. We'll see what's going to happen. As the big word is, it's inexorable. That simply means that nothing's going to stop what's going to happen unless the Almighty personally intervenes and does something to change it. I hate to see America go down the tubes, but it could. The only thing that will keep us up is God. Father, I pray tonight that you'd use what I've said, Lord, for the glory of God. Maybe I've said a few things tonight to just simply wake some people up. Get them interested. Lord, have mercy, Lord. How we sleep. How we sleep. Don't care. Don't care. Just don't care. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, and for Jesus' sake I ask it.